Tom noticed that he and I are coordinated this morning, and he said we could do a duet, and I got to thinking that, he's going to have to sing out really loud if we do something like that, and I'll sing real soft. And then I also thought of a story that Adrian Rogers told one time about he was going to sing a solo, and he asked his music director where he wanted him to stand, and he said, "How about on a hill far away?" Well, thankfully, Brother Tom didn't say that to me, so... Anyway, it's good to see y'all this morning. We're going to finish up on this series, Thinking the Right Thoughts. And today, Thinking the Right Thoughts about Spiritual Growth. You know, God has designed you, every single one of us, to do something significant in this world. You know that? You believe that? God has done that. And before you can become anything that God wants you to be, you have to grow spiritually. Your life in Christ began when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And you were born spiritually. You were born again. You had the spiritual birth, the new birth you experienced. And what that means is everything that you've ever done wrong, every sin, every transgression, every iniquity has been wiped out, forgiven. And God says, let's just start over. Let's just wipe the slate clean, and you get what's called a new birth. And so God says that no one has a past. No one in the family of God has a past, and everybody in the family of God has a future. But after the spiritual birth, you need to grow spiritually. You need spiritual growth. Jesus told a story in the Bible, which we're going to look at this morning, and it illustrates the three common barriers that keep you from growing spiritually. Jesus also gave in this story three keys to growing to your full potential in Jesus Christ. He says that there is a farmer who goes out to sow seed, and in the old days, literally, the farmers would sow the seed with their hands. And as the farmer throws the seed out, it falls on four different kinds of soil. These represent different responses to God. And then later in this passage, in Luke chapter 8, Jesus interprets the story. And he says the farmer in the story represents God. He says that the seed represents the word of God to you and to me. And the soil represents your attitude, your heart, your responsiveness to what God wants you to do. He says, if you learn from this story, you'll learn the keys to growing spiritually. He says, if I want to grow spiritually, first of all, I must be receptive to God. I've got to be receptive to God. I must want to grow. I must be eager to grow. I must be enthusiastic about growing spiritually. I have to be ready to grow. And I must be spiritually receptive. And the primary reason people don't grow is real obvious. They don't want to grow. They just really don't have that desire to grow spiritually. So many times people are unreceptive. They're unresponsive to the Word of God. Now, you came to church this morning. And because you came to church, that shows a degree of receptiveness to learning spiritual truth. But there are thousands of people in Bradley County within driving distance of this church and other churches that are not in church today, and their hearts are not receptive. They do not show any kind of spiritual receptiveness to God. Jesus says in Luke chapter 8 and beginning in verse 5, he talks about that this is like the first kind of soil. He said that a farmer went out to plant some seed, and as he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and birds came and ate it. And then in verse 12, he gives us the meaning of this story, of this parable. He says, the hard path where some seed fell represents the hard hearts of those who hear the words of God, but then the devil comes and steals the words away and prevents people from believing and being saved. Now, on every farm, there are footpaths. When I went to visit my dad up in Michigan, I got to go on my cousin's farm, where I used to spend vacations, two-week vacations, on that very farm years and years ago. But I got a tour of the farm and got reacquainted with that farm. And there were some footpaths there. And footpaths are where the farmer walks as he walks through his crops. And he walks there, and it becomes hard as he walks over and over, and the soil gets compacted. And there are two things that are true about a footpath. Number one, they are very hard. And number two, they are very narrow. And a lot of people's minds are like that. Their minds are hard. Their hearts are hard. And they've got hardening of the attitude. And they say things like, don't confuse me with the facts. My mind's already made up. They're closed-minded, and they're very narrow-minded. And when the seed gets thrown on this kind of hard-packed soil, it doesn't even have a chance to take root, to penetrate. And the birds come along and eat it before anything can happen, because it just lays on the surface and doesn't even get a chance to sprout. Jesus said that we can be like this. Jesus said that we're like this, that we never give God a chance in our lives. We do not even, many times as believers, we don't give God the opportunity to work in our lives. Because God, we say God doesn't answer prayer. But most of the time the reason that God doesn't answer prayer is because we don't pray. We don't give God an opportunity to answer prayer. And we say that God never does miracles in our lives. Because we don't believe in miracles. We don't believe that God will do miracles in our lives. And so we don't give God a chance to do miracles in our life. And we don't give God a chance to grow us up spiritually because we're not even sure we believe in God. And so many times we're just closed-minded. And when our minds are closed and our hearts are hard and we're unwilling to listen, nothing is going to grow there. There isn't going to be any spiritual growth. And what he's saying is that this first kind of soil, the hardened path, represents a closed mind. A closed heart, a closed attitude toward the things of God. A hardened soil represents a closed mind. The question then is, what causes people to be closed to God? Why is it sometimes when you bring up the subject of God, people go, wait a minute, I just don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about that. We'll talk about anything but that. And you could just see the curtain coming down. You can just see the door slamming shut and the mind shutting down and the heart closing up. What causes us to be so defensive when people even start talking about God? Why are we that way? Well, let me give you some reasons. It's probably one of three reasons why we're that way. The first reason we close our minds to God is because of fear. Obviously, if we're afraid of God, when you're afraid of something, you don't want to get close to it. If you're afraid of God, you don't want to grow spiritually. You're afraid and you think, well, if I get close to God, God's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. Now, that is a legitimate fear. And if I get close to God, I'm going to start looking like those religious nuts on television. You know, I'm going to become a religious fanatic and I'll have to dress in really funny clothes and say really funny things and walk around all the time going, praise the Lord. And what if I become some kook for Jesus, you know? That's a legitimate fear. And what if I lose my freedom? If I start growing spiritually and all of a sudden I can't have fun anymore? You know, those are the fears that many folks have. And if you're afraid of God, it's obvious that your mind is going to be closed. Your heart is going to be hard toward God. You don't want to get close to Him. A second reason people don't want to get close to God and they close down to God is because of bitterness. Bitterness over some way that you've been hurt in the past. They think about that hurt when that subject of God comes up. And they say things like, well, if God allows things like that, no thanks, God. And they may not say that consciously, but in their mind, they're thinking that. They're thinking, God, why'd you allow this to happen? God, why did you allow my mother to die so young? God, why did you allow that child of mine to die? God, why did you allow these loved ones, my spouse, to die an early death, or a brother or a sister, somebody that you really loved, and you say, why, God, why did this happen? And some have been hurt by other Christians even, people claiming to be believers. Maybe you were burned in some church by some self-righteous, judgmental, hypocritical person who's holding you to a standard that even they themselves can't keep. You think, if this is Christianity, if this is God, no thanks, God. And when you hold bitterness in your heart toward God, there's no way you're going to get close to Him. There's no way you're going to grow spiritually. You cannot grow and have bitterness in the same heart. And you're thinking, why did God allow all of these things to happen? And you're angry at God. Why did He allow it to happen? I don't know. I can't give you a definitive answer, but I do know this. Heaven is a perfect place. Earth isn't. Heaven operates on the perfect will of God. This earth is broken. Everything in this earth is broken. Everything on this planet is broken because of sin, because of rebellion toward God. It's all broken. And I do know that heaven is a wonderful place. And someday, as we're singing about that today, someday we're going to have a more glorious day. We're going to have a happy day, a day that is full of joy, and those joys will never end. I don't know why bad things happen to good people, but I do know that God hates sin. God hates sin when you sin. God hates sin when I sin. God hates sin when any person sins. Why does God hate sin? God hates sin because it hurts people. But don't turn away from God. Don't turn away from Him. Let your pain turn you toward God, who is the great comforter. He is the one that can get you through that pain. Never let another person or another experience get between you and God. If you do, you know, that's really dumb. Because you're allowing somebody else to hurt you, who has hurt you, to get between you and God. And that will keep you from growing spiritually and growing up and enjoying the things that God wants you to enjoy. But there's a third block toward getting close to God, and that's pride. James chapter 1, verse 21, don't be proud, but accept God's teaching that is planted in your heart. This teaching can save your souls. Pride keeps me from being receptive to God. Sometimes we just don't, I just don't need God. So many times we think, well, I'm self-sufficient. I can handle this. I can figure everything out. I cause these problems. I can resolve them. And as a result, if I don't think I need God, or if I'm afraid of God, or if I'm angry at God, it's obvious that I am not going to be receptive to the things of God. Now, here's the problem. An unreceptive, hard heart, closed mind, is a barren lifestyle. It is a desert. It is a wilderness. Nothing can grow there. Jesus said the seed gets thrown on that hard ground. It does no sprouting. And the birds come along and eat it. And this is a life for the birds. It is a wasted life. It isn't going to work. So if you want to grow, first you must say, God, help me to be receptive to you. The second thing we must do if we're going to grow spiritually is I must be resolved to grow. That means that I have to make a decision. I have to be resolved. I have to make a commitment. I have to accept responsibility for my spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, spiritual maturity is a choice. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not very close to the Lord today. Well, you're not very close to the Lord because you chose not to be close to the Lord. And if you're not close to Him, if you were closer to the Lord, there was a time in your life when you were closer to Him than you are right now, you are the one who moved. It is not God's fault. God did not move. You cannot blame your husband. You cannot blame your wife. You cannot blame your parents or your children or somebody who hurt you. You are as close to God this morning as you want to be. And if you're not spiritually mature, it's because you've chosen not to be spiritually mature. And if you want to grow, you must resolve to grow. Make that commitment. Make that decision. Without resolve, without commitment, you're never going to grow. Instead, you're going to live a pretty shallow, superficial life. Here's what Jesus says about that soil in verse 6 of Luke chapter 8. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. This seed began to grow, but soon it withered and died for lack of moisture. Now, what's he talking about here? Jesus is telling this story in Israel. And in Israel, most of the nation was covered by a thin layer of topsoil. And there was a hidden bedrock underneath that topsoil, most of the time of limestone. And it's not like the good soil goes real deep there. And when it talks in the Bible about rocky soil, it's not talking about a lot of rocks there in the soil. But what it's talking about is that deep bedrock, that solid bedrock of limestone. And it's not like the good soil goes there very deep at all. And as a result, when you plant things, there will grow to a certain depth. But if they don't have any roots, they can't dig down deep because the bedrock prevents them from going deep. And the roots do not get very deep. And when the desert winds come, and when the heat comes, and the sun comes out, and the summertime comes, and all those plants are going to wilt unless they are continually watered and irrigated. Jesus says a lot of people are like that. And he explains it in verse 13. Some people are like the seeds on rocky soil. They welcome the word with joy. And whenever they hear it, but they don't develop any roots. They believe for a while, but when their faith is tested, they abandon it. Jesus is talking about shallow soil here. The shallow soil represents a superficial commitment. A superficial commitment. Notice he says, these people welcome the word. They welcome the word with joy. Have you ever gotten excited when you heard a Sunday school lesson? Or when you heard a sermon or a message? And it just really touched you. All of us have. Sure, you've gotten excited before. And you react emotionally and you're moved impulsively. And maybe a tear comes to your eye. And maybe you were excited or intellectually challenged or emotionally stirred. And you got an ocean of emotion and you said, this is really great. But you walk out those doors. Or you get out of your automobile where you've been listening to the radio. Or you walk out of your Sunday school class and you forget it because there is no root. There is no depth to it. You're thrilled, but you're not changed. You're not transformed. And until we let the Word of God penetrate the bedrock of our personality, God's Word will go nowhere in our lives. We're moved. We're emotionally stirred. But it is a shallow commitment because we never really intended in the first place for that Word of God to grow in our lives. It was good getting excited. It was moving. It was emotional. And sometimes we hear something and we get so moved about it and we're changed, but we forget it even before we get to work on Monday morning. Sometimes, lots of times, our best intentions don't last but just a few minutes. What is it that keeps us from growing? It is a lack of commitment. It is a lack of resolve to grow. It has to be more than a feeling. It has to be an action. It has to be something more than come and get excited about. It has to be something I decide to do. If I don't decide to do it, nothing is going to happen. You know, as parents, if you ask your child, your teenager or whatever age child it may be, you ask them to clean up their room, and a couple of days later you go in their room, it's the same mess. And you go back to your child and you say, what's the deal with the room? And they say, well, Dad, when you asked me to clean my room, it was a beautiful way you asked. I mean, it just brought a tear to my eye. It just touched my heart. And I told all my friends about how beautiful that talk was that you gave me about cleaning my rooms. But your question is still, why isn't your room clean? Sometimes we hear things and we get excited about it, but we never do anything about it. And so because of that, obviously, we don't grow. It's a struggle that all of us have in this regard. When we hear something, you know, it's tough to get it done because most of the things we hear, we forget 95% of what we hear within 72 hours. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 26, Jesus said, anyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. It's not going to last unless you do something about it. Now the point that I'm trying to make here is that you have to invest time. I've got to let it sink in. And that's one of the reasons you get these outlines. And I just keep giving them to you week after week after week. because I want you to take it home. And I want you to read it again. And I want you to talk to your friends about it. You might even have a time at work where you can have a little devotion. You know, you might be struggling with, what am I going to use for that devotion? I've got devotions this week. Well, take the outline and use it. Use it in many ways. Read it again. Talk about it with your Christian friends. Talk about it in your Sunday school classes. Talk about it when you get together. How do you make sure that the desire to grow, that commitment to grow, is something that stays? You put down roots. You got to put down deep roots. Now, how do you do that? How do you put down deep roots so that this is desire to grow that most of us have becomes a reality in our lives? You put down roots by making and keeping commitments. When you make a commitment and you keep that commitment, that causes you to put down deep roots in your life. James chapter 1, verse 22. Don't only hear the message, but put it into practice. Otherwise, you are merely deluding yourselves. You know, there's something dangerous about coming to church. I'm glad y'all came to church this morning. You did something dangerous, though. You can come to church, and you can hear somebody else talk about God. You can hear somebody else talk about growth. And you can go away thinking that somehow, just because you listen, that you've grown spiritually. No. The truth is, you've just heard somebody else talk about it. Until you or I do something about it, whether I'm talking about it or you're hearing it, none of us have really grown. None of us have made any real progress spiritually. It takes some exercise. It takes some energy. It takes some commitment. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Take the time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Now, all of us have probably watched some of those shows on television, The Biggest Loser and all, you know, some of these others. We know that it takes effort, time, and trouble to get physically fit. And the Bible says that it takes time and energy to get spiritually fit. The Bible says it takes time. It takes energy in our lives. So where do you start? You start by putting down roots. You want to make some commitments to put down some roots in your life. Where do you get started? Let me give you five commitments real quick to help you get started. Number one, you've got to connect with other Christians. You've got to connect with other Christians. When you decide to spend time around other people who want to grow spiritually, you become like the people you spend time with. And as much as I'd like to say that I have grown, the spiritual growth in my life has come because of me, I can't say that. The spiritual growth that has come in my life has come because I have been around spiritually people that want to grow spiritually, and it has rubbed off on me. And so you've got to connect with other believers if you want to grow spiritually. Secondly, you've got to commit to build spiritual habits. And we've talked about this so many times. If you want to spend time in God's Word, I've got to make a commitment to do it as a habit. Yes, there are bad habits. And you want to stay away from bad habits and replace them with good habits. A good habit, a spiritual habit, the best habit is spend time in God's Word. Spend time with God in prayer. Spend time in God's house with God's people. Build spiritual habits. The third thing is commit to use your talents, whatever gifts that you have. You've got talents, you've got abilities, you've got gifts that have come from God. And when you use those, you'll grow. Other people will grow too, spiritually. The fourth way, I commit to share my faith. You know, you've got to tell other people what Jesus is doing in your life, what he's done in your life, how he saved you, and how he wants to save others, and how he loves us unconditionally. You've got to share your faith. And then the fifth thing is to commit to fulfill your purpose. God put you here on this earth for a purpose. And his purpose to put you here on this earth is it's all about him. It's to glorify him, not to glorify ourselves. Not to get everything out of life that we can get out of it, but to glorify God. And if you'll glorify God, you're going to get everything out of life that you want out of life, that you deep down inside have that longing for. And so to commit to fulfill the purpose that God has for you. Make those commitments. Start to set down roots in those areas, and you begin to grow spiritually. And these five commitments that I've just given you are the foundation. It's the foundation. It's the structure of every church. It ought to be of every church. And that's the structure and foundation of Big Spring Baptist Church. And that's the reason this church exists. Not for any other reason. We exist to glorify God. And everything we do here is designed to help you make and keep those commitments. Pastor, how do we do that? We do it by teaching it. We teach it on a regular basis. If you've noticed, I teach the same thing over and over and over and over again. Why do I do that? Because it is so important. And because we're all like me, it takes more than one time for it to sink in. We have to hear it, and we need to be reminded of it. And then secondly, we keep these five commitments through our Sunday school classes and other groups, our choir and the groups and ministries that we have. This is what it's built around. It's built around this foundation of glorifying God in everything that we say and do as a church, as a Christian. And if you're going to grow, first of all, you've got to be receptive to the Word of God. Second, you got to be resolved. You got to make that commitment, that decision. I'm going to grow spiritually. So what's the next step? You know, it's one thing for me to get up here and talk about it. But what's your next step? So what I want to challenge you to do, sometime during this sermon, you got a few more minutes, not very many. Sometime during this sermon, I want you to take out that blue card that's in the pew in front of you, if you haven't already filled one out. And I want you to write down a specific step of action that you need to take to grow spiritually. And then when the offering plate comes by, I want you to drop it in the offering plate. I want you to put your name on it, and I want you to drop it in the offering plate. Because there is something about telling another person in your life that makes it more real to you. Share it with me, your pastor. If you haven't joined a Sunday school class, take that step. Right down there, I'm going to join a Sunday school class. I'm joining one today. Connect me with one. Don't just listen and be deluded thinking you're going to grow. Hearing and growing are not the same thing. You're not growing until you put it into action. Then there's a third step that we need to take if we're going to grow spiritually. And that third step is, I must be ruthless with distractions. I must be ruthless with those things that keep me from growing spiritually. Your most important objective in life is to grow spiritually. Once you know Jesus, once you come to Jesus, that's the most important thing. But once you come to know Jesus, it's more important than your job to grow spiritually. It's more important than your marriage to grow spiritually. It's more important than making $1 million and retiring. It is the very thing that you were put on this earth to do. God put you here not to retire. He put you here to get to know Him. He put you here to develop a relationship with Him and to grow spiritually and to become what He meant for you to be. And if you miss those things, you have missed it in life. And you have wasted your life. And what I'm talking about this morning is not a small matter. I hope that you get that idea from me. It is the most important thing in your life after you've come to know Jesus. And because of that, there are all kinds of distractions. The devil will put distractions in your life of all kinds, and he'll think up things. He doesn't want you to grow spiritually. He will do things to get you off track. And there are lots of things that can steal your focus. There are lots of problems and events that can waste your time and waste your energy and dampen your enthusiasm for growing spiritually. Now, the Bible calls these distractions, Jesus calls these distractions weeds. The weeds grow up in your life and begin to choke out the spiritual growth. And you no longer have a vitality to get to know God better. And you don't have any vitality to become what He wants you to be. And Jesus says the third type of soil represents this barrier to growth. In Luke 8, verse 7. Some seed fell among thorny weeds, but the weeds grew up with it and choked the good plants. Jesus explains it in verse 14. The thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. Look at that word in verse 7, the word choked. And then the words crowded out in verse 14. He says the seed sprouts up in your life. And you're all excited about growing spiritually. And you begin to grow spiritually. But after a while, it gets choked out by weeds. It's crowded out. And you no longer bear fruit. And this is the third barrier that keeps you from growing spiritually. One, the closed mind, the hard heart. Two, the superficial commitment, the shallow living, never really intending to grow. And then the third one, a crowded life. A crowded life. When I get so many things in my life that crowd out God, I've got this overcrowded life. And it chokes out my spiritual vitality. Why are there so many people? Why are there so many Christians who live unproductive lives? The reason is overcrowded. Overcrowded lives. Why are there so many people that become believers, but they never grow? They never bear any fruit. They never grow to maturity. An overcrowded life is the reason. Is anybody here even vaguely familiar with what I'm talking about? Does your life sometimes get overcrowded? Yes, we get distracted. We get weeds in our lives. What is a weed? What is a spiritual weed? A spiritual weed is anything that crowds God out of my life. It could be a good thing. It could be my family. It could be my career. It could be my hobby. It could be television. It could be fun things to do. It could be my investments. But anything that crowds out God and keeps me from growing spiritually becomes a weed, and it grows up in my life and it chokes out my spiritual growth. Somebody once said, beware of the barrenness of a busy life. We often confuse activity and productivity. They are not the same. You can be very, very busy, yet be unproductive. You're just doing a lot of activity, just running around in circles. And sometimes we get so distracted by the concerns and the plans and the worries and the activities that we don't grow. We don't grow because we don't have time for God. We don't have time to pray. We don't have time to talk to God. We don't have time to sit down and spend a little time reading the Bible every day. I don't have time to get connected with other Christians. I don't have time to go to a Sunday school class. I'm just too busy. You have chosen to take second-class things and put them in front of first-class in your life. And one day you can explain to God why you did that. One time you will explain that to God. And God said, I put you on this earth to get to know me and to grow and become what I meant for you to be. But you allowed other things to crowd out that in your life. You used to be really close to God. There used to be a time when you were on fire and there was a passion and a joy and an enthusiasm in your life. And you were really, really close to God. But now you don't feel like that anymore. Those fires have gone out. And your life has become kind of routine. The joy isn't there. Why? Overcrowding. You've allowed something else to sap the energy and the joy and the vision and the vitality. And Jesus, in this verse, points out three kinds of weeds. I emphasized it when I read it. Cares. The cares of life. The problems. The pressures. The worries. The stress of success. Did you know that success can draw you away from God? The word in the original language in the Greek means pulled and different directions. The second thing that Jesus said in that verse, riches. Riches can choke your vitality. You can be so busy making money and watching your investment, you don't have time for spiritual growth. And then Jesus says pleasures can be a weed. You can be too busy having fun that you forget God. Sorry, God. I don't have time. I'm going to the river. God, I'm going to the golf course. God, I'm going to the movies. Now, I'm not saying don't ever go to those places. I'm just saying that we can get so busy with those things that we push God out. There are many different kinds of weeds that Satan knows to send in our lives to choke out the spiritual vitality. Just think about this. What does it take to grow weeds? Well, in my yard, nothing. Just neglect it. It doesn't take anything. Do you have to plan to have weeds in your lawn? No. Do you have to fertilize the weeds in your garden? No. Weeds are always the sign of one thing: neglect. Weeds are growing in my lawn because I've neglected that. And when I neglect my marriage, weeds grow up in my marriage. When I neglect the relationship with my children, weeds grow up in my relationship with them. When I neglect my relationship with God, weeds grow up in my relationship with God. They are a sign that I am not spending time that's needed to cultivate and maintain that particular relationship. They're a sign that I've slacked off. Now, what do you do with weeds? Now, some of you in your former life, maybe you smoked them, but that's not what you do with weeds. What you do with weeds is you rip them out. You tear them out. You uproot them. You eliminate them. You get rid of them. My wife hates weeds worse than I do, but I hate weeds too. She hates them with a passion. And she sent me out in our driveway. Weeds grow up in the cracks of our driveway. And she told me how to get rid of them. You got to uproot them. You get them out of there, and once you get them out of there, you spray them with weed killer. I'm not nice to weeds when she sends me out there in the hot sun to get those weeds out. I really hate them then, but I'm going to kill them all. What do you need to weed out of your life? Some of you need to weed to use some spiritual weed killer in your life. You need to be ruthless in eliminating distractions. You can get so many irons in the fire that the fire goes out. Some of you need to weed some things out of your schedule. If you're burning the candle at both ends, you're not as bright as you think you are. You will burn out. So ask yourself the question, what needs to be uprooted in my life? What is it in your life that needs to be eradicated from your schedule? Now, I'm not going to let you go on this one. If you walk out these doors and you don't even think about it, you won't think about it again. The birds will come along and take that seed and it's gone. And so I want to pause right now and I want you to think of one thing you need to stop doing. One thing you need to stop doing so you can have more time for spiritual growth, for getting to know God. You might want to write it down. Something in your schedule that's causing you to pull away from God. If we are not ruthless in eliminating distractions, we end up wasting our lives. Now, I want to ask you the question, which of these barriers keep you from growing spiritually? Have you had a closed mind to the things of God? Maybe it's because you're afraid to get close to God. You're just afraid of what God's going to require of you if you get close to Him. Is it a superficial commitment that you've got with God? You get full of joy. You love going to church. You don't intend to change, but you love going to church. And as soon as you walk out, you're going to forget what we talked about. I'm going to lunch. Is it an overcrowded life? If we could do a CT scan or an MRI of you spiritually and show it on the screen, what would it show? Closed mind, superficial commitment, bitterness, fear, pride? Would it show that you've allowed someone or something to get between you and God? Would it reveal that you get all excited about the things of God on Sunday or the things of God one or two days a week? You enjoy coming to church, but when the heat's on, you wilt because you don't have any roots. Would it show an overcrowded life, too busy for the most important things in life? Look at verse 15. Jesus talked about the good soil, and he says this is what happens when the seed falls on good ground. And the seed that fell on the good ground is like those who hear God's teaching with good, honest hearts and obey it and patiently produce good fruit. What we're talking about today is so important. And so the first thing that you and I need to do, we need to cultivate an open heart, an open mind toward God, toward the things of God, and just say, God, I am receptive. God, I'm humbling myself under your mighty hand. And I know as I do that, Lord, in your time, in your way, I'll be exalted if I just be receptive to your things. God, I trust you. God, I know that you're going to change my life and that some things are going to come into my life that are going to change, but I know that it's going to be for the better. That I'm going to be happier and I'm going to be full of joy because of what you have in store for me. Second, you make a resolve. You say, I am resolved. I am going to grow. I decide to grow. I commit to grow. I'm going to do, God, whatever it takes to grow. I'm going to make and keep those commitments. And then you need to discover, identify, and eliminate the weeds, the spiritual weeds, and be ruthless about second-class causes that's given you first-class allegiance to, that you've given first-class allegiance to. I want to warn you, the moment you walk out that door, the enemy, Satan, is going to try to con you. Don't let him. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song of invitation. And as we sing, as God speaks to your heart, you come. We're going to ask our Sunday school classes to come and be praying during this invitation time. God speaks to your heart. You need to come. You need to do what God's asking you to do. That is a receptive heart. That is an open heart that's moving toward God. That's moving toward the commitment that you need to make to God, that He wants you to make, that you might enjoy what He has in store. Let's sing.